Yeah, before I start, are there any questions of stuff that I need to address regarding, like, questions about the previous lectures or the assignment or the exam or anything? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll go to the lab after this.
Yeah, because the solution
is yeah. Not my fault. Just so I put it out there. But yeah, okay, but I'll check that out then. Anything else? No? So today we'll just keep on going where we were yesterday with the whole, like, normalization and stuff. And then, what was it? It was, like, some XPath questions. I need to solve some more of the exercises from the assignment, I guess. And is there anything else you want me to talk about this lecture? Anything at all? Okay. So then, like, depending on how much time we have left, I'll just start doing some exercises from previous exams. Yep. Cool. So to start, like I mentioned yesterday, like, exercises that have the functional dependencies, I think, are a bit too easy to normalize, because you just look at the functional dependencies and then you're done. So we'll start this class today by you normalizing this table without having the functional dependencies. So you just have to look at the data and see what the patterns are, try to understand the data and try to make sense of it, and then try to split it up between tables as it makes sense to you. There's no, like, right answer here, but there are some wrong answers. So, but just try, I'll give you, like, 5 minutes or until noon 25, just look at the table and try to, like, split this table into multiple ones. So it's in 3NF. Yep. That way I can finish my pizza too. Okay. Do you have some sense of what's going on now? Or was that enough time? Okay. First of all, what is this data? What does it mean? What does it try to represent? Any, ideas?
Reservations.
Yeah. Reservations for something. You have, a room number and whatever, so you can assume, it's for a hotel, right? And then what parts of the, or what can you recognize of a reservation here? What is the data for reservation? So you have information about the room, and you have information about the client, right? And then information about the reservation itself, the start date and end date and whatever, right? So looking at the data, Can you group it in any way of this is clearly related to each other?
I was thinking to have four tables.
Okay.
So the first one being room number, and then have room type.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And then having one that's the client.
Yeah.
And the last one being reservations. And reservations would have room number, client number, and start date, end date.
And then it would be the reservations that would be what?
Room number.
Yeah. Client number, yeah.
Start date and end date.
Yeah. Okay, so this, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. I think we need to explain this a bit better. but yeah, this is the correct answer. But now, why, right? How did you arrive at this? Did you just you looked at the data and it's like, yeah, clearly, right?
I'm trying to take away what could be duplicate.
Yeah.
So just assuming that all the room type single will be the same price.
Mm.
You don't need to list that for every single room.
Yeah.
You just say the room type, and then you have another table that says the type, the price for each type.
Yeah. Yeah, because they have the same name and same address and phone number, right, for the same client number.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
For reservations, that's I don't know, it doesn't make sense to do it any other way for me.
Yeah. Because for reservation we have the room number. So we could in theory store the room type. Right, but that's already gotten from the room number, so that's a bit wasteful. And then for clients, from the client number, we get all the information for the client just from the number, right? And then the date is kind of dependent on this stuff.
And you get the price from start date and the end date plus room type,
yeah,
room number, so
yeah,
you could get the total price.
Yeah. Mm.
You can get all the client information from the client.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty much the way you need to think about how am I going to organize this data if you didn't have the functional dependencies. If you look at the functional dependencies for this exercise, you would see that this is pretty much the same thing. So we have that the room number and the client number would have exactly one start date and one end date. And then one room number has a room type. So that's what this table does. And then one room type has one room price, one room type, one room price. And then for a client, we have a name, an address, and a phone number, right? So basically, you arrived at what the functional dependencies would be without having them, just by looking at the data, which is a skill you are going to develop over time, but it's also something that you should have. And then when we arrive at the functional dependencies, when they're like this straightforward, then they can just easily be translated into tables just by like doing what you just did, right? So here we would have like room number and client number. This would be like the primary key. This is what identifies the reservation, right?
Don't you need star gate as well, like if the same person orders a week after?
Not in this situation, it looks like. Because you have room number and client number has exactly one start date. So like from the functional dependencies that are given to you, you are assuming that a room number can only be booked by one client one time, which is stupid, but it is. And from like looking at the data, this is also what it appears to be. So this can be, you know, you can assume this like a traveling hotel or something. It's just a bunch of tents, and then they're not going to be in the same city for too long or something. I don't know. But yeah, like that could be like an issue, right? Just looking at this data, it's like, oh, if we're gonna do like the room number and client number, them being like the primary keys, then like the same client can't book the same room twice, which could be problematic. So then we could also have this as the primary key, these three ones. And then for a client, the only thing we need to identify a client is the number. Everything else you can infer from the number. And then from a room number, you know what the type is. And then from the type, you know what the price is. Yeah. Did it make sense for the rest of you? He clearly got it, but what about everybody else? What's up? Any questions? Or do you not even know what to ask? That's also a problem sometimes. It's like, oh, I want to ask questions, but I don't even know enough to ask a question. Okay. So look at the data and try to figure out what can be divided, or like what is common between the columns, what is a thing, right? It's like from this data, you can like say that, like, oh, this guy is a thing, John K. And then we have like John Ron, and he has like a different address and a different phone number. And then we have another thing here that has like the same like client name, same address, same phone number. And then, oh, let me see if like for a client number, like the name is always the same, like, oh, C1 is John K, C1 is John K, C2 is John Ron always, and then Elaine Stewart is always C3. What about for the other columns, like address? Like the address for C2 is always the same, the address for C1 is always the same, for C3 is always the same, which makes sense, right? Like you have a client that has a number, and then they always have the same name because they're not like changing name all the time. And they always have the same address, and it makes sense that they also have the same phone. And it's like, okay, yeah. So then like all this data is related to each other, right? Like I don't need to repeat all of this for every reservation because I know like if I know what the client number for this client is, I know everything else, right? Like I don't need all for this to be like repeated all the time. So I can just move this here. And I need to keep a reference for, you know, what was the client for that specific reservation. So this is unique, like the client number is unique. So we can just replace all that data with the client number, and we haven't really lost anything, right? If we want to know what the name of client one is, we can just like go to this table and be like, oh, okay, it was John K. And that also means we can remove like all the duplicates, right? Like we don't need to have like John Ron repeated, I don't know how many times, or any of these other ones. We can just have this, and then we just halved the amount of data that we had, right? So this is a good first step into like removing any like duplication and just extra stuff that we don't need. So then we can look at other things. So what about room type and room price? So we go through, let me delete this stuff. So we go through like all the rows, and then you see that like, okay, single is 600. Again, a single 600, and then we have double, and it's 1,000 both times. And a suite is always 4,000. So we can assume like, okay, maybe the prices are related to room type, right? If the room has a specific type, it'd be kind of unfair to have it be multiple prices because, you know, even though it happens. So then we could probably just have one table that just has this, where you have like, okay, a single is 600 and a double is 1,000 and a suite is 4,000, right? Oh, makes sense. But that also means like, now I don't need the room price at all, right? This is a bit useless now because if I know the room type, I know what price it's going to be because I have a table that gives me that information. So then you end up with removing that column, and now you have just these. Okay, cool. But now we still have some more. Now we're restricted to 5 columns. Let's see if there's like any relationship between them. Start, end, and end date. No, not really, because, you know, people can stay for different amounts of time. Client number and start date, there's no real relationship there. Room type and anything of the other ones, like, not really. What about, like, client number and room type? Like, one client could always stay at the same room. But, yeah, it doesn't look like it. You have, like, here that C1 is staying in a single room and then a double room, so there's no relationship there. And then you have, oh, wait, room number and room type. Like, well, you know, I'm guessing a construction company isn't coming in, like, every week and changing, like, the size of a room, adding, like, a new bathroom or whatever, right? Like, if a room is built, the room is built, and it's going to be, like, a specific type. And here we have that, oh, yeah, 101 is a single one. And then 102 is a single, 201 is a double, and then 401 is a suite. And then from that, you're like, okay, yeah, so then that kind of makes sense. I guess if I know the room number, I know, like, what type it is, so I don't need this, like, to have it specifically for every reservation. I can just have it somewhere else. So 102 is a single, and then 201 is a double, and then these other two, yeah. And that also means then I can take that away. And with the room number, I know what the room type is. And from the room type, I know what the price is, right? Like, you could say then that, like, oh, why don't we have room price here instead? And then we just have it associated with every room number. But a room price is always going to be like we don't need 600 repeated for like every single room type that we have. If we have like 1,000 rooms, we know what the rate is. If we know that it's a single room, we know it's going to be 600. So we don't need like 1,000 rows there with the same price. Because that also creates the possibility of somebody like going in and screwing up and putting that the price of a like S101 is actually like 100. And then all the other prices have a different price than that one, right? Which is not ideal. So if we want to update the prices of all the rooms, then we can just go here and be like, okay, like a single room is now 800, and that's it, right? Does that make a bit more sense now? Yeah? So, now we can look at the actual exercise, the friendly exercise, the non-asshole exercise. Yeah. So that specifies like what the actual functional dependencies are. So, and it's exactly the same as what we arrived at now, right? So we have a room number and a client number, and that gives us the start date and the end date. And then we have a room number, and that gives us the room type. Room type gives us the price, and then the client number gives us all the other three. So exercise A was find the primary key, and the primary key for this is like the room number, client number, because everything else depends on it. Normalize it. So that is basically the same process, right? Since this isn't in 2NF, because there are circular dependencies or transitive dependencies, then it's not in 2NF. So then we need to normalize it. And then you just take all the things that are fully dependent on this key. They're also not transitively dependent, so in this case we don't have the like end date depends on start date, so we can have both of them in the same table, right? And then we end up with the same relationships, right? This. So if you have the functional dependencies, you can just go and look like what depends on what, and then just, you know, neatly make some tables out of it. The only thing you need to pay attention to is if you take the functional dependencies and just translate them into like normal tables, then you need to go and make sure that for every field here, there's nothing that depends on something else in that table that is not the primary key. I'll give you an example, which is where was that? Some slides. I think I remember it. So there was an example that was like there was an address, and then the address had like an address ID or something, and then it had like a street name, and it had a like number, and it had a town, and it had a postal code. If you look at this and you like try to figure out, okay, what like the functional dependencies for this were like address ID, and then it was an arrow, and then all of these, and then the for each postal code we had that was exactly one town, right? And this basically means that, you know, if you know the address ID, then each address ID is going to have exactly one street name. It's going to have one number. It's going to have one town, and it's going to have one postal code. And for a postal code, we're going to have exactly one town, right? So if we take like 2819, it's going to be Jøvik, it's not going to be Hamar or anything else. We know that like for a postal code, we have that it's going to be a town. If you try to convert this into like multiple tables to fit just the functional dependency, you could run into the trap of having these two tables, right? Where this would be like the primary key and this would be the primary key, and then you'd have an address and then the name and then the number and town and postal code and the town and the postal code, and then you'd have another table that would be the postal code and the town, right? You can see like what the problem of this is, right? If you just blindly, I'm going to just copy the functional dependencies and it's going to be normalized magically. Because you have here one field that depends on something else that is not the key. So you have town here that is a bit useless because, you know, if you know the postal code, because we have a table for postal code, then you know the town. So this would introduce the possibility of somebody in this table writing like, you know, Hamar and 2819. And then you'd go here and 2819 would be Jøvik. And then you'd be like, oh, what the fuck? Like, which one is this supposed to be? Like in this table, it's Hamar, but it's actually like Jøvik. So then you'd have to like remove this field and then postal code would be how you would determine what the town for an address is, right? So pay attention to those situations. I'm going to put it in the exam. Otherwise it's too easy, I think. Ah, come on. Yeah. Anything else? Do you understand normalization now? Well enough? Or, yeah? You know how to hack your way through it, at least? Pretend that you know, just for the exam. Okay, that's good. Yeah. Any other questions you want to ask me about this stuff before we move on? No? Okay. We can do another exercise, I guess, for normalization. Let me see. Is there anything interesting? We'll do this exercise and then take a break. So look at it. I'm giving you the functional dependencies now, so it should be a bit easier for you to understand what's going on. I'll give you like 5 minutes and then we can go over it together. Okay. Somebody explain this data to me. You have the dependency, so it's a bit easier. You don't need to guess. It just tells you. You can start from the bottom. That's the easiest. The last one. The name depends on the number, yeah. Or you can say that for one employee number, there's exactly one name, right? You can turn it around too. Okay, what about the rest?
Number of seeds depends on which model is, and then like the name
as well. Yeah. So, like in the situation, you could have, for some reason, if you'd had like models from different brands that have the same like name for a model, they could, in theory, have like different number of car seats, right? So here, what identifies like how many seats a car has is like what is its brand and what is its model, right? So if you know those two, you know like how many seats the car is going to have. Yeah, and then the other stuff, so you have two for license plate number, right? And if you know the license plate number, you know what the brand and you know what the model is. And if you know what the employee number is and you know the date from, you know what license plate it is. So you know like what did they reserve in that specific day, because they can't reserve more than one car, right? And until when are they reserving the car, because you can't give two like termination dates for giving back the car when you've reserved it in a specific day, right? You can't just go to Avis or something and be like, hey, I'm reserving a car now, and I might return it like 10th of October, I might return it like 20th of December, you know? That doesn't really work. So then if you know the employee number and you know the date from, you know like when the car is going to be returned, right? So, and then since we have like all these functional dependencies, then we can start, or clearly this is not normalized, right? Is that clear why? Because you have stuff on the right side that depends on things that are not the key, right? And you have like a bunch of like transitive dependencies here of like if you know I don't know. If you know the license plate number, you know the brand, and then if you know the brand and model, you know the number of seats, and then you have just like everything in one table, which means you have like a bunch of duplication, right? Which is not ideal. So the first relation we can map out is this one, right? Which is which fits that functional dependency of, or the last one, which is if we know the employee number, we know the employee name. That basically means that if we have an employee number, we don't really need to like store the employee name for every row of that table. We can just have it as a standalone table, right? This is shitty to see. Okay. Like this. So here are the functional dependencies. And then here's the relations. So it's like the first relation. And then what about the rest of the data? Then we end up with like the dates and the license plate number, brand, model, all the other stuff. What the fuck? Um, But this isn't, like, we're not done, right? Because there's a bunch of functional dependencies here where non-prime attributes are fully functional dependent on the key. However, this relationship is not in 3NF, as brand, model, and number of seats are transitively dependent on the key. So for, let's take model, for example. Model depends on the license plate number, and then the license plate number depends on employee and date from, right? So you have a loop here of transitive dependencies where if you know this, you know this, and then if you know this, you know this. So it's kind of like, why do you need to have all that information in the same table if it all like transitively depends on each other, right? So then we need to break this apart, and to break it apart, we can take this, so employee number and date from, and then on the right side we have that if we know these two, we know the license plate number, and then we know the date two, right? And the date two in this table only depends on the key of the table, or the primary key, which is employee number and date from, same for license plate number, so we're done, right? All the attributes that are not keys depend entirely on the key and nothing else. And then for the next relation, we have license plate number, and the functional dependencies there are brand and model. So we do this, like brand doesn't depend on model, model doesn't depend on brand. Both of them just depend on the license plate number, so then we're done as well. And then for the third relation, we have brand and model, and that's the primary key. That's what number of seats depends on. So then we end up with this relationship. And then end up with this. Right? And if you compare it to the functional dependencies here on the side, we have employee number, employee name, which is this one. We have employee number, date from, with license plate number and date to. Yeah. We have license plate number and brand and model, and we have brand and model and the number of seats. Yeah. Of course, you can, like, these are very friendly exercises where, like, all the functional dependencies are, you know, just what the final table should be. So if you want, if I wanted to be an asshole, I could, like, instead of just license plate number, I could have also brand and model, right? So if you take this, yeah, that's annoying. But this could be easily replaced with license plate number, and then, like, brand and model. And you can't just, and you'd still need to pay attention to what you're doing, not completely just copying the table or copying the functional dependencies into tables, right? So you need to pay attention to those type of problems. Yeah, when stuff is, when you have two things on the right side and they both are a part of something else, where here you have like brand and model, and then here you'd have like brand and model and depending on something else, right? We can take a break now. 1:20. Okay, this is the last. This is the last exercise of normalization. After this, we'll move on. Just I try for this exercise. I decided to be a dick and just put a bunch of like valid, functional dependencies, but not all of them are needed. But they're all valid. So you can just like go and look at this list and just create the tables from it. You need to think of it. So just do it. Yeah, you done or? You done? Yeah? Okay. Who can start answering how, like, they approached it? Or did you actually arrive at something, or just kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm done, but I didn't do anything? Because that's also being done. But if you're going to, like, write, if in the exam, please write something in the answers so you could at least get some points as opposed to getting 0 points for, because at least then I can, like, bend the rules, like, oh, yeah, I guess he, and, like, they knew how to write the name of the table so I can give them a point for this, as opposed to, you know, oh, didn't do anything, get fucked, you know? So, have you actually done anything now, or just... Yeah? Okay. Like, so run me through it. How did you start? Looking at the functional dependencies, like, which one did you take first to do stuff with? I can start, I guess. Yeah. So I'll move this to Excel because it's easier to visualize. So you have this table, right? And it has an order ID, it has a user ID, and the username that of the person that made that order. And then it has an address of where was that order made to deliver or whatever, right? And that is, yeah. So for this, like the user... ordered to Storgatan E and here Storgatan T. If you look at the functional dependencies, the one that's like the easiest to start with usually is the stuff that has the least fields to worry about. So here I would start with like the postal code town thing, for example, where you have one postal code has exactly one town, right? That's what this one is saying. That, like, for a postal code, we have one town. And that means that if I know the postal code, I know the town, right? So both of these fields don't really need to be here. I can take the postal code and the town. And postal code would be like the primary key for this table. And the town would be whatever is dependent on the primary key. And this is enough for me to know that, like, okay, 2819 is Jovik. So then the only thing that I need to know for, like, where or what a town is the postal code. Okay. 2819. Yeah. So this is taken care of. And then the other one is like user and user ID or username, user ID. So if I know the user ID, I know the username, right? Because for one user ID, I have exactly one username. So then again, I can just take these and just create another table, which would be like user ID, username. And it would be like, have the user ID, I have the username. I don't need to have both. So then I can just have user ID 2, 2, and I don't need that extra column there with the usernames. Okay. Everything makes sense until now? Yeah, so we've taken care of this one and this one. Now, we know that for one order ID and one user ID, there's exactly one username. This is like the redundant thing on these like functional dependencies. Because if you know the user ID, then you know the username. So like the order ID is kind of like a bit redundant there, but this is already taken care of, right? So because if we know an order ID and we know the user ID, we can just use the user ID to go to this other table and figure out what the username is. So this is also taken care of. And then we have like all the address stuff. So for addresses, here we have that for an address ID, we have a name and a number and a town and a postal code. So that can just be a table on its own, right? If we know the ID, I can figure out like the rest of the stuff. So we can take like address ID and street name and street number and postal code. We don't need town because like town is already in this other table that we've defined. So it's kind of not necessary to have that repeated again. But we can have like address ID. And then street name, street number, postal code, and then we figure out the postal code or the town from the postal code. And then for an address ID, we figure out like all the rest of the stuff by the ID. So we don't really need all these fields anymore, right? We just need to know like what the address ID is, and then we can figure out the rest from there, right? So then this is taken care of. This was another one, those decoy, where it's like if we know an address ID and we know a street name, we know the street number. Like the only thing we need on the left side here is really the address ID to know what the street number. Wait. Yeah. Because one address ID, like address ID 2, is only going to have like one street number. And then the rest of the stuff is taken care of as well. So then we basically have one table that has like the order ID, what user ordered it, and what address was it ordered to. And then we have one table that has like the postal codes, one table for the addresses that stores all the addresses, and one table for the users. And then this primary key, because from an order ID, there can only be like one user and one address. So the order ID uniquely identifies the order, For a postal code, we only need the postal code. For an address ID, we only need the address ID. And then for the user, we only need the user ID. Then we have a foreign key here to the user table. And we have one foreign key here to the address table. And then for postal code, we have one foreign key to the postal code table. Yeah? Does that make sense? Cool. So moving along, shit, this is a lot of time on this. Assignment 5, part 2, something. It's a lot of... Hello? Assignment 5, part 2. Which one was the issue? XSLT. Yeah, create a style sheet that will transform XML into whatever. The style sheet should display the following details of the wrestlers. Yeah, and then it's the promos grouped into a single cell. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just look at the solutions. Promos grouped in a single cell. The value of select promos. What is actually exactly isn't working? Because you take the promo. I can show you the output of what is intended. Promos.
Because now we have like all of the information.
It's this. Yeah, so that's what it's... all the promos in a single cell, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. No, no. That's how it was sent to me. Yeah. No. Promos grouped in a single cell. That's all it is. So if you have like a convincing like way of saying like, oh, this is what you meant. This is poorly formatted or poorly described. Like they would have to accept it anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how it looks in the solutions at least. So that's what is intended. Yeah. Bonus questions. What the fuck?
Okay.
Okay. What is the trait of this wrestler? What is the name of the wrestler who has won the maximum number of belts?
Yeah.
That's the one. Okay.
Promotion.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, let me see if I can do it right now. Yeah, it did, but like, did no min and max functions work in XPath, whatever the fuck? Tester thing? Okay. I'll look at it. Okay. XPath. Sir. And. Lectures, not assignments, and then this. Okay, format. What is the name of the wrestler who has won the maximum number of belts? Beltston. Input of max campaign contains a mix of non-comparable values. Unknown. Yeah, thank you. Input to max contains of... Let me see. Need the slides for it first. Lectures and operators, indexing, nesting predicates, node, text. Let's see if this works. And then predicates, operators, node, count. Starts with Yeah, I'd need to check. I don't know what's wrong now.
Yeah, but I
Oh? When? Yeah, those classes until 2:00.